FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is February 8th, 2017. Well, election is over, but the aftermath continues on. And with us is Dr. Gerard Francis Lamero. Gerard, welcome back. Great to have you on the show.
Great to be back with you.
So, democracy, a beautiful thing when it's handled responsibly and with educated, informed participants. But what's going on here in the United States?
Well, the left is really migrating from what used to be called liberal years ago to progressive and actually to socialist. And now it appears they're moving even further left. They're becoming anti-democratic, which is a synonymous with totalitarian. I mean, they are not tolerating people's views to the point that we have things happen such as Berkeley, where you have people that say they've been paid to protest, so that this is not strictly an organic kind of thing, but an organized effort to subvert democracy, because Milo wasn't able to talk. He had to be, secretly taken out of the building where he was going to speak at Berkeley in a bulletproof vest with police officers protecting him, because the people outside really were rioting. There was no protest where they had a few signs and a couple of, chants. They were actually rioting, breaking windows, setting fires, and this is just one aspect of it. Basically, the left is turning totalitarian, anti-democratic, and the ironic part is that they're talking about democracy as if democracy means you agree with me or tough. I'm ready to start a fire and break, destroy property.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, what if you have the superior winning argument, all right, if your position really, your position is the winning one, you're right, why do you have to riot? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, exactly. Well, what it really says is that an awful lot of what the left has been doing over the past few years when they were in power and I'm talking about the Democrats mostly in power in different branches of government, including the White House, they were ruling against the will of the people. You know, back in on radio in March of 2010, I remember it, I spoke on show after show about how bad Obamacare was, and it passed it. In March 2010, despite a lot of people being against it, and despite the fact that 2 out of 3 Americans were opposed to Obamacare. And since that time, most of the polls, except maybe a couple of ones that I questioned whether they were accurate or not, showed and signaled that Americans are still against Obamacare. And yet, the president and the Congress at that time overcame the will of the people and forced it down their throats anyway. So what we're seeing now is more of that. They have lost power. They no longer hold the Senate, the House, or the White House. They have lost most governorships, most state legislatures. There's only 5 states, I think, in the United States that have a Democrat governor and Democrat legislative bodies. That's amazing. And in fact, they've lost so much power, they have so few offices now, the Democratic Party, that they have not been this bad off, few number of seats held across the country, top to bottom, courthouse to White House, since the Roaring Twenties, the 1920s.
1928 was the last time they were in this dire straits, and things were different then, for sure.
Absolutely. So what you're seeing, I think, is they're losing their grip. You know, instead of sitting back and say, why are we losing election after election? I think during the Obama administration, depending on how you want to count it, they lost between 1,000 and 1,500 seats across the country, top to bottom. You know, county seats, state seats, and national seats. And that's a terrible rebuke by the people. And what they should do right now is sit back and figure out, why are we losing? Why is it that we have lost so many seats? And instead, they're getting angry, with the American people as if the American people are wrong to choose conservative principles instead of choosing socialist principles that they seem to admire.
Right. So, look, when you try to talk to a liberal, explain to them what happened to during Obama. Why was Obama's administration a failure? What do you tell them? They don't want to hear it. Was Obama's regime a failure?
Absolutely. We have the worst recovery since a recession in 70 years. We have foreign policy that's in the in shambles. We paid a ransom to Iran for some hostages after doing a supposedly great deal. If that were a great deal, we should have gotten our hostages for free. But it was a bad deal from an economic point of view, but more importantly, from a strategic foreign policy point of view, because right now we know Iran is on a glide path to a nuclear weapon and on a glide path to an ICBM, and put those two together, and you can talk about electromagnetic pulse attacks against the U.S. very easily. And we were not, in the Obama administration, ever protected from an EMP attack, even though the president's commission at that time recommended we protect our electric grid. And that's just one example. We can go across the board on how America is worse off now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we know that, don't we?
Yeah, and Americans want to change because they wanted the problems fixed. They wanted things like the national debt to get under control. They wanted the budget to get under control. They thought there were too many regulations stifling new business growth. And new businesses, that's the future of our economy. And you go down the list, more police shootings. Chicago is out of control with all the shootings there and all the deaths due to shootings in Chicago. We have, our law enforcement in the cities has been drastically impacted by the Obama administration's Department of Justice, where they mandated police forces around the country to become paper pushers instead of being out there on the street, really policing those areas. They lived in this old paradigm that the police were, brutalizing black people, not realizing that, that they're basically trying to stay alive. You know, so many police have been attacked, and they basically are trying to get their job done of protecting those communities.
Yeah. And so who suffers when there's a war on police here? That's really the question.
The poor people in the poor neighborhoods who can't go out at night and who are afraid to go to their place of employment because they may get shot on the way by a drug dealer or something else.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So how does that help things here? Right. I mean, how is that helping the poor people?
It doesn't. And also unemployment is very high. If you don't have basic security in a neighborhood, it's hard to even attempt to get at the unemployment. You know, teen unemployment among minorities is off the charts. And part of the reason is that they're not even safe enough and secure to go to a job.
Yeah.
Because literally in places like Chicago, you have to fear for your life.
To say the least. I mean, I was there over the summer at a conference. Now, granted, I'm in the better parts of the city, but still, I used to go to Chicago regularly. My sister lived there. And, it was totally different back then. It used to be called the city that worked. Now, I don't
know. It's the city that shoots.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
and that's not really a laughing matter. It's sort of meant to be a joke, but it's really a serious matter and very sad for the communities that live like that.
Yeah, it really is. It's sad because it's so unnecessary. Something's got to be done, obviously, but they're not doing it. What are we going to do here? I mean,
done? It all starts at the ballot box, and I think in 2016. And my book, Great News for America, that came out in January of last year, January 2016, predicted it. We would have a historic and critical presidential election. Yeah. Historic meaning that the voter turnout would basically try to change the system. And we had, establishment Republican Party that a lot of people just just felt was out of touch with Republicans. And the Democrats, believe it or not, largely felt the Democratic Party was out of touch. Yeah. The Republicans nominated a true outsider, somebody who had no political office in his past. But the Democrats decided to put their finger on the scale, the Democratic National Committee, and help Hillary to get elected, to get coronated for the nomination, even though I think if the DNC were trying to help her, Bernie Sanders would have gotten the nomination and that, and it would have been another outsider. So the Democratic Party, for all intents and purposes, is over as we know it in the past. And the Republican Party is also over because we're going to have a new, more populist type party with Donald Trump running it. I mean, he's president, so he gets to pull the strings at RNC, and I'm sure he's going to put his own people in place, throughout that organization as well as the administration. So I think the American people have taken the personnel actions necessary. They gave the House to more conservative people, the Senate to more conservative people, and the White House to a complete outsider.
But it looks like these so-called conservatives in the House and the Senate, or certainly in the Senate, aren't exactly Trump's best friends here. There seem to be establishment types. All of a sudden, you got Mitch McConnell saying, oh my God, the deficit. Well, they sat around for 8 years and just were prime enablers of Obama's running up the deficit here, Gerard, you know?
Well, you're right. And the founding fathers designed our country to move slowly. There's no question about the way the timing of the elections are and everything, and the split, the separation of powers was meant to have change happen slowly. And so we know there are a lot of problems, but unfortunately, they're taking years to really address. And part of it is to sort of clean out Congress. I don't think Congress has had good leadership, certainly on the Republican side, for years. You basically had leaders in name only who were not leading, not taking the charge against the Obama administration. Now you have one leader. You have President Trump, who is a leader. He is a tough guy who doesn't get pushed around. But it's going to take years to clear out the career diplomats, all the career people in the House and the Senate, the staffers who are liberals and who are, if you will, Democrat lights. But I will tell you, we're moving in that direction. I predicted in my book, I think it's happening, that we are moving into a new age, a conservative era. There are seven American constitutional errors. I described them in the book. Mm-hmm. We are moving into the eighth. They don't happen very often, a new era, but we're moving into it, and it is going to change the country. 2018, I'm already looking ahead to that election. The Democrats have 25 seats they have to defend. 23 Democrats, 2 independents for total 25. Mm-hmm. A lot of those seats are in states that Trump easily won. Yeah. So what I predict is going to happen in 2018 is we're going to get another conservative movement in the Senate, and it's going to be a Republican majority of 61 or 62 seats. Mm-hmm. It's going to make it harder and harder for the liberals to live on.
Yeah, well,
they're just getting defeated one election after another.
Did you see the Republicans who received money from George Soros? Did you happen to notice that? Kasich, Paul Ryan. Lindsey Graham, John McCain, and there was one other whose name eludes me right now. There were 6 of them. And lo and behold, they were the ones who were the biggest never Trumpers around.
Of course.
What'd you think of that? treasonous or
surprise.
What?
I wasn't surprised. They weren't huge donations. I mean, they basically bought access to get into the cocktail parties, get the invitations so that when they want to talk to these Senator John McCain's, people like that, they can do it. You know, they bought some access. You know, they're relatively small donations compared to what the Democrats get.
Yeah.
But still, the fact that those people took them and are associated with them tells you a lot.
And they were getting money from Hillary Clinton, too. That was in the WikiLeaks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a while ago. Right.
Yeah.
So, well, does this surprise anybody, really?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
At least anybody who's watching, watching the political scene, this would be expected. And people like Lindsey Graham, John McCain, I think their days are limited in the Senate because I think for the most part, even though I know Some have been able to get reelected in that, some of these folks. In the long run, you know, they're sort of getting slowly overturned into more conservative houses, the House and the Senate.
Yeah, we can only hope. Hey, so filibuster. Let's just talk about what happened to Pocahontas Lizzie Warren yesterday. She was berating Jeff Sessions, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, his full name, which I thought is an interesting name, but draw whatever inferences you like. And finally, McConnell, even weak-kneed, weak-chinned Mitch McConnell, leader of the Senate, said, Speaker of the Senate said, enough is enough here. And he shot her down under an arcane rule of the Senate, which says that no member of the Senate can impinge the motives, character, or good standing, whatever it was, of another member. And they shut her up. Did you believe that? Now, shutting that woman up.
Actually, that was kind of surprising because I can't recall that ever happening. But there is a rule number 19 of the Senate rules that basically says you can't malign another senator. That's just like not good protocol, and it's not good manners in the Senate. And we let you talk and talk usually, but we don't let you say anything bad about any of us. That's not allowed. You know, I think Mitch McConnell is getting more and more upset. I think it's getting closer and closer to the nuclear option. In some cases, we may see the nuclear option happen. And I think this is just him letting people know he's not going to put up with a lot more. They've got to pass these cabinet offices because we need a government. We didn't even have Jeff Sessions in place to fight the ridiculous lawsuit from that state of Washington.
Well, you know, in Florida, it's interesting here, Gerard, every other billboard on I-95 is an ad for testosterone treatments. Now, it's not something that I personally have ever considered. Maybe the good leader there, Mitch McConnell, is finally getting some, and it's helping him to grow a spine and grow some other parts of his anatomy that have clearly been missing for years now. And he's mad as hell, and he's just not going to take it anymore. I wish he had done the same to Harry Reid and shut him up, because there was one person who needed it.
This is my thought. My thought is that neither Paul Ryan nor Mitch McConnell are leaders. Even today, I don't think they're leaders.
Yeah.
I think we have a leader now, Donald Trump. And I think that because he is a leader, he is basically pushing that leadership down under the people who are working for him. And in a sense, Congress is working for him. He's going to try to push his program through Congress. And I think that these people like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, nothing against them personally. I just don't see them as strong leaders.
No.
I don't see them as a General Marshall, a General Douglas MacArthur, a General Patton. You know, a lot of times our presidents have been generals. I saw Obama is very weak. But I see Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, generally speaking, over the years, fairly weak. But I really think now they somehow sense that they're working for a real leader, and they know how to salute. You know, they know how to salute Donald Trump, and they know that he means business, and they know they've got to get their act together. So I think Trump is empowering Mitch McConnell to be tougher, and I think he's going to get his cabinet approved.
Think so, huh? Well, yeah, the cabinet's a foregone conclusion. That's definitely going to happen.
And I think also Gorsuch is a foregone conclusion because Feinstein has already said he's impressive. I mean, you know, it's obvious he's going to get it. The next Supreme Court nominee is going to have a rougher road because he's going to replace somebody like Ginsburg. That's going to be tougher.
That's going to be fun to watch.
It's going to happen. But it may take the nuclear option to get Trump's appointees in. And by the way, that's part of the reason we're going to have a conservative era, because Donald Trump is probably likely to appoint 4 constitutional conservatives who believe in the Constitution and the law of order, the Supreme Court. We are going to have a totally different jurisprudence when we have a supermajority of constitutionalists on the Supreme Court. Trump also gets to appoint, and they will be approved, 103 federal district court judges and Circuit Court of Appeal justices. judges. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so 103 is going to remake the judiciary, and you won't have people like Robarts from Seattle.
Yeah.
And by the way, have you seen that they've already called for his impeachment, that his ruling was totally lawless, that didn't follow the Constitution, didn't mention any law, and yet he bans the president from conducting foreign policy and things related to national security. Mm-hmm. He was totally out of place. Trump could have just told him, take a walk. I'm not following that because it's an illegal use of your judgeship.
Yeah, well, Trump's in the consolidating his power phase of his presidency. Bad move to do that. You don't want to, you know, just give those insane liberals something to grasp onto. So I think he did the right thing. Just at this point, don't go ignoring courts and give the Maxine Waters of the world something to grab onto. But certainly the judge was totally off the wall, totally ignored the law. And hey,
there's a statute.
Yeah.
There's
no question.
Statute.
Yeah, no question. No question about it. Hey, so interesting times ahead of us here. And yeah, the country has craved leadership. Whatever you say about Trump, good or bad, you can't deny the fact that he is a leader. And that is what much of the country has been craving for all too long. And they've got it now, that's for sure. So we will see what happens next. Gerard, hey, just tell us your book, best place to get it, best place to find you on the internet.
Yeah, well, of course, the best place to buy all my books, there are four of them in print right now. GreatNewsForAmerica.com or Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. Amazon is one of the more popular places. It's in both Kindle editions and print editions. And GreatNewsForAmerica.com has lots of free information on there. It has about the American constitutional errors. It has my 10 laws for winning presidential elections, which still work quite well. And they were written 20 years ago, and they still work if you decide you're running for president. Any of your listeners want to run for president?
Next time I run, I will definitely keep them in mind.
That's right. Well, people actually do read them.
Yeah.
A few people. It has limited market, you know, like there's about 10 people interested.
Yeah, well, hopefully the Democrats won't. They don't read anyway, so I don't think you have to worry. Not seriously. But yeah, anyways.
Well, they're supposed to just win. They're not supposed to have to campaign.
No, of course. Hey, if you've got any questions, comments on this interview or show or any others that we've done, just email us. KL@KerryLutz.com, KL@KerryLutz.com, Twitter feed @KerryLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Makes life real easy. Then the show just gets delivered to the iTunes program. You don't have to go looking for it. Just go over to the iTunes store, type in Kerry Lutz or Financial Survival Network. You find it, you click subscribe, and that's it. All right. Gerard, it's always great to have you on the show. Interesting to hear your perspective. Wish you the best of luck. Go out and buy Gerard's book. It's really interesting reading. Talk to you again soon, Gerard. Be well.
Sounds good. You have a great show.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next. We'll be right back.